First Liberty Institute just completed our most successful year ever defending your religious freedom. It's been a year of growth and success. Wait till you hear what's coming up in 2022. Hi, I'm Stuart Shepherd, and this is First Liberty Live. Hey, I've got a late Christmas present for you. The First Liberty Live app is free. It's our gift to you. It's a great way to follow these conversations. You can download it to your phone or iPad. You can watch it on the screen there, or even listen in your car as a podcast. Again, it's free. You just download it. You can't watch them live, but it will notify you when new episodes come out, so you can follow along with everyone on your schedule, which is why it's such a great thing. Hey, once you hear all that's about to happen in 2022, you will be as excited to ring in the new year as we are. And that's why I invited Kelly Shackelford, our president, CEO, and chief counsel, to chat with us today. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Stuart.
I used to make a living as a weather forecaster. I'm going to look to you to be a freedom forecaster, and we're going to get the extended outlook for 2022. You ready? So you may have to do a little bit of this, you know, to kind of do the...
I get a green screen back here.
We can work on that. Let's start with the case that's been getting a lot of national attention. We represent a group of Navy SEALs who are asking for a religious accommodation. Tell us about it. What's the status and what's coming up?
It's a huge case because it's about the Navy SEALs, but it's really about everybody in the military. When we started seeing what was happening, and there's been some really disturbing stories just in the last few days coming out about how they're being bullied, abused, these military families, threatened, how they're now telling their children and grandchildren, don't go into the military. I mean, the damage they're doing to our military is significant.
That is a long-term impact, too, when you start talking about generational loss.
Absolutely. If you look, this is not coming from the commanders, what's happening. When our SEALs testified in court last week, they said that the people above them supported them. This is coming from political people in the Pentagon and in the administration. This is not about what's best for our military and trusting your leaders and all. This is destroying that trust. And so it's very dangerous. So we could have represented 30,000 people in the military, but we can't. We don't have that ability. So we took these Navy SEALs. These are our very best. And we said, this is as inexcusable as anything to treat them the way they're being treated, because they asked for their right under the law, which they have a right under federal law.
Right.
And it's a very dangerous thing when the military thinks it doesn't have to follow the law that's specifically passed for them. And so this case is the case that will not only decide for these SEALs, but will really set a precedent for all of these families, for all of these people who have served us so well that are being abused right now, all over the, you can read stories every day, heartbreaking stories of what's happening to these families and how their future is over, their pension is over, all these things they've given for their country their whole lives, now they're going to take away, all because of bullying from Washington, D.C., which is totally inappropriate.
You've answered a question that I've been getting in email from people who are following this along with us, and they're saying, I'm not a Navy SEAL, I serve elsewhere, you know, have a desk job or whatever, stateside or wherever, but the point is, a win for the SEALs is a win for everybody, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the story I just read in Fox News 2 days ago, that was, it'll bring you to tears or to fists when you read it, was about Marines and what's happening to a number of Marines that they interviewed.
Thousands of requests for accommodations, and how many have been accepted?
Oh, yeah, tens of thousands, and
zero.
They have granted accommodations for administrative reasons, for medical reasons, thousands. Zero for religious accommodations.
And that's just wrong.
Well,
there's no other way about it.
The law provides for it. It specifically applies to the military. Congress said so, that RFRA applies to the military. There's even a DOD directive that says that as well. And for just asking for the accommodation, they're being threatened, they're being bullied, their pay is being taken away. We could go on and on. Their families are being told things. They don't have a right to tell their families they can't travel, for instance.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that's going on is really inexcusable, and it's illegal. And so I feel like our hearing went really well.
And a quick aside on that, I think we could tell this because it was in open court, so it's public.
Yeah.
But the other side, representing the government, did not know that we were going to have three Navy SEALs in the room, three warriors in the room. But my favorite part of it was when the government attorney asked the question, have you ever had any unpleasant experiences on your job? And the SEAL replied,
The Navy SEAL replied, everything about being a Navy SEAL is unpleasant. to which the classroom, the courtroom burst into laughter. But these guys really have given everything for us. Many of them suffer from things as a result of the 350 years of combat service that they represent. And people, we didn't know if we could have any of the SEALs, because even though we have all these people representing, they're all on missions right now. I mean, really dangerous missions. You know, you see stuff in the media right now about the Ukraine or somewhere else. I guarantee you, they're there. Yeah. Wherever we're talking about. So we were able to get three. They were able to testify. And I think we got a great judge. Reed O'Connor is an excellent federal judge. He did a good job with the hearing. And now I would just tell people to pray.
This has to happen quickly, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are people being thrown out as we speak, and it's coming to the SEALs pretty soon. Yeah. So pray for Judge O'Connor. Pray for his clerks that are working with him, because they are not only deciding what is the right decision, the judge is, but they're also trying to make sure that they write it in a way. So if they were to rule in our favor, which I hope they will,
yeah,
it's going to be attacked. It's going to go to the Court of Appeals. It's going to eventually go to the Supreme Court. So pray for them to do an excellent job. Pray for them to stand behind our military, because this will not only affect these 35 guys and their families, but it'll affect tens of thousands of people. And really, it'll affect the future of our military. As Jerry Boykin, General Boykin, said, this might be the case to save our military, because what I'm describing in these news articles is our military is being permanently damaged. And we can stop that if we can turn this around. But right now, what's going on is really bad for our country, for everyone.
And the conversation Kelly was just mentioning with General Boykin was a couple episodes ago. You can watch that on FirstLibertyLive.com. It's a lot of insight that he gave. He was one of the original Delta Force people for the Army.
And so head of the Green Beret.
He knows
a little bit about what he's talking about.
Another case that's drawing national attention is the Biden administration's vaccine mandate and the effort along with that to tell private employers how to run their businesses. Give us an update. What's ahead in 2022?
Well, first let me point out something. I didn't talk about this with the SEALs. But we have supporters who say, hey, I'm pro-vaccine. And we're like, we're not pro or anti-vaccine. We're not a medical organization. We're just about freedom.
Yeah.
And the ability of people to make a choice. And especially when it comes to the religious freedom.
And upholding what the law says concerning this.
That's exactly right. And so, I mean, all the time we'll get calls, hey, you're representing so-and-so, and their theology is really bad. And we're like, we're here to protect his ability to have his theology so you can have yours.
Right.
And it's the same thing here. You might say, I want to choose a vaccine. Great. But if somebody has a religious objection to it, that law needs to be preserved, or else the government will turn this new power to take away your religious freedom against you next. So it's very important that people understand why we're in this case. When the OSHA mandates came out, essentially the president took over every company in the country by edict of over 100 employees. That includes every religious organization.
Which would be colleges, publishers,
groups like Daystar that we're representing that share the gospel all over the world. I mean, this is a dangerous thing. The government can't take over companies, including religious organizations. That's not how our government works. You know, number one, if you even have the ability to do this, you go through the legislature.
Yeah.
You don't issue an emergency edict. And there's just tons of problems with what they're trying to do. And we had won an injunction in the Fifth Circuit that you can't do this. This violates the Constitution. It violates the statute, OSHA statute, that they were saying they had authority under.
Yeah.
And we thought, we've got an injunction. It goes to the Fifth Circuit, very conservative circuit. But the panel that was at random was a Bush appointee, an Obama appointee, and a Trump appointee, three judges. Well, the Bush appointee went with the Obama appointee, and they ruled 2-1 to remove the injunction.
Right.
So all of a sudden now there's an emergency that this thing goes into effect in, you know, January. It's going to be January 10th.
Yeah.
And so we did what we only thing we could do. We filed an emergency application in the Supreme Court seven other plaintiffs did the same thing. And that is a real long shot. The Supreme Court does not like emergency applications. They, in the past, the numbers are like, they would grant one out of, maybe one out of 1,000.
Yeah.
And so our odds are hugely against us. But
it's administration level, it's nationwide, it's a controversial issue.
So I said maybe 30% chance.
Yeah.
Well, something great happened, which is, they do not have oral arguments on emergency applications. All of a sudden, a notice went out that they were setting an oral argument January 7th on the emergency application.
Wow.
One attorney will be there on behalf of a number of our states. Another will be there on behalf of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, which is businesses across the country.
Yeah. We are part of. I mean, there are a lot of challenges across the country, and they're consolidating.
All of our lawsuits are together. And I say again, I think there's either seven or nine of us filed,
yeah.
And they took two of the people to argue, and I think it was a great choice. I understand that the religious groups are a little different from the other groups, so we add extra to what they're already going to be arguing.
Yeah.
And then, as a Christmas gift to our attorneys on staff at First Liberty, the court set our brief to be due January 3rd at 9 in the morning.
So our attorneys are going to be working this weekend.
So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Good
job, Justin Butterfield. We'll mention him by name.
He's and Hiram. And yeah. Anyway, so just pray for them. Pray for the briefs are all pouring in. They'll be pouring, and the government's brief will come in tomorrow. All the other briefs will come in replying to the government's brief, ours, on Monday. And then on Friday, it'll be argued. And my guess is we'll have a decision by the next Monday. So
Wow. This
is a big case because of the precedent it sets for whether the government can come by just one person, essentially the president, not a legislative process, not anything else. One person can take over the companies, including the religious organizations. It's a very dangerous thing. And if once you sort of open this door, I think it's very hard to close it. So it's an important case to be praying about. This and the Seals case are two of the more important cases I've seen in a long time.
So let's review the dates again. So it'll be heard on the 7th, which
7th
is remarkable
of January.
In itself.
Yes.
And a rapid schedule like we rarely see. And then a decision by the end of the week?
I think by the next week, because on January 10th, this law is supposed to go into effect.
Yeah.
And there's currently no injunction because it got lifted.
Right.
So the court's going to have to do something one way or the other by Monday the 10th. And so really be in prayer about that. As you said about forecasting, I could forecast a little bit about our big religious liberty school choice case that we argued in the Supreme Court 3 weeks ago.
And that's coming up here in just a couple questions.
That'll come out in, June.
Yeah.
Because I heard the argument. I know this, what's going to happen in the Seals case, what's going to happen in OSHA, huge, huge cases. I pray we're going to win. I feel like it's the law and everything is on our side, but we really need to pray.
Outstanding. Now, as we're sitting here, we are seeing still the wheels turning in D.C. with this idea of rejiggering the Supreme Court, packing the court with additional justices,
yes.
Changing the length of their terms, that sort of thing. We led a monster effort in 2021 to oppose that. It had a significant impact, and thank you to everyone who signed
yes.
on to the letter that we sent to the officials in D.C. What's ahead in 2022 on that? It's not over. What are we looking at as we move into the new year?
Well, this court packing would destroy our courts. And anybody who goes to Supreme Coup, our website we did, will see the history other countries realize.
SupremeCoup.com.
SupremeCoup.com. Yeah. Coup is COUP if you don't know
French. It's French. Yeah, whatever.
So those of us from Texas, right, we think it's spelled differently.
Yeah.
But it was a real danger. And there was a commission formed to do this. There's a bill already been filed to add four justices to the Supreme Court,
yep.
to add 203 lower court judges. You pack the court, you destroy the court. It's over. We've seen that in Venezuela. We've seen that in Argentina and other places. And people just need to be educated. So that's what we did. We've never really done this before, anything like this. We raised millions of dollars just to be used on this. Like, we had one family that was just blew me away, came forward and said, what good is my business if the courts are gone, if our country's gone? And they had never done anything like this. They gave $750,000 to educate people. Yeah. And by the time we were done, we were at over $3 million. And we did lots of education, lots of polling, and it had a huge impact. This commission, which was totally filled with really radical left-wingers, by the end, were quoting our polls, our arguments, and were divided against each other. And so they did not support court packing. Now, people might think, we won. It's over.
No.
No.
Not in D.C.
No. Because immediately there was all this, of course, pushback.
Yeah.
But what they've clearly shown us is when these big decisions come down in June, the abortion case, the religious liberty case we have, the Second Amendment case, all these, they're immediately going to pick this up and push and say, look, we told you, now it's clear this is the only way. Elizabeth Warren, Senator Warren has come out and said it's the only way. We're seeing articles now. They're trying to move and prepare for June. So we won the first battle, but we've got to keep going. And so we're going to watch and wait, but we're ready for when this comes again.
We knocked them off stride, but they're still running ahead.
That's right.
All right. Okay.
But thank you. As you said, we had over 400,000 people sign on to the letter that we sent to the commission. People all over the country, from Ed Meese to you in your living room. And it made a difference. So thank you for everybody who was involved in this.
Got their attention. Right now, as we're sitting here, we have a request at the Supreme Court asking them to take up the case of Coach Joe Kennedy. Where are we in that process? What's coming up?
We've been fighting this case for 6 years. Poor Joe has been fighting this case for 6 years. We are finally to the point now where it's what we call ripe. In other words, all the briefs are in. Everything is there for the court to say, yes, we're going to take this case. This is going to be one of our big cases next term. They can do that as early as next week. Odds are, in the next 2 or 3 months.
They meet every Friday for that?
They meet on a somewhat regular basis to look at the petitions. They get 9,000 requests a year. They only take 67, maybe 70.
But we have reason to expect that this one's going to get a little more
attention.
Very
different, because this has already been up. They sent it back down with a message. There were four of them who said, if this comes back up like this at all, you know, we're going to have to take a look at this. And that was before Amy Coney Barrett.
Right.
That was the four conservatives. So you only need four.
And four and to it, take up the case for them to consider it, yes.
And it got worse. I mean, the Ninth Circuit doubled down on, we're not going to allow coaches to pray in public. They even attacked Coach Kennedy because one of the judges writing the opinion said that their beliefs were you shouldn't pray in public, and then castigated Coach Kennedy because he had different religious beliefs. I mean,
And they kept reimagining the case in a way that they would be able to attack it. And our attorney had to keep saying, no, the facts show this. The facts show this. The record shows this. But yet they still wrote the opinion as if it was this alternate universe.
Yeah, they kept trying to change the facts. The great thing is we have the record to show what the facts are. That Coach Kennedy was fired because he went to a knee by himself to say a silent prayer for 20 to 30 seconds.
And I asked him about that moment. I said, you knew when you walked out there that everybody's watching. By then there were TV cameras because it was a news event. And everything that's happened since, he didn't know yet. He just knew he's an assistant coach at a high school in far west Washington, west of Seattle. And he realized, if I go out there, it's the last time I'll ever set foot on this field. But he just felt like he needed to go.
It's a huge sacrifice for him because he loved those kids.
Yeah.
But he was a Marine. He spent 20 years fighting for our country. And so what kind of example am I for the kids if as soon as they try to take away my freedoms, I cut tail and run? I think this case is, by the way, one other piece of good news that people don't know, our lead counsel on this case is Paul Clement.
Who's a big deal.
The number one guy at the Supreme Court.
Argued more cases than anybody.
The justices are going to recognize this. We've got everything going in the right direction on this. It's set up beautifully. I would encourage people to pray that they take this. This could be the case of the next term. And it's important, really, because it goes way beyond Coach Kennedy. What he's doing is not going to just protect every coach, every person who works at school. I mean, if you can't pray where anybody can see you.
As a school employee or other,
a teacher,
or other government
a
worker.
A teacher can't bow their head over their meal.
Yeah.
But it's, as you say, it's, I don't care where you work. It would be every person in your local government, everywhere, can never be a religious person while they're, quote, on duty. Yeah. This would be a stripping away of religious freedom for where most people who work in the government spend most of their waking hours. It would be horrible. But it's even greater than that because they've highlighted that they're looking at the free exercise clause and an old opinion that they might reconsider. And if they do that, it'll open up free exercise of religion for everybody in the country in ways we haven't seen in 40 years.
So we're hoping to hear sometime from now
into spring
whether they'll take it.
Yes.
And then the case itself would be heard probably
the
in the
year.
Fall.
Yeah, in the next fall.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just to get the... So, now, here's the... And this blows my mind, okay? We're this far into this conversation, this deep into the... And the next one is the case we just argued at the Supreme Court. Usually this would be the headline.
Yeah.
This would be the biggest deal of all. But this is the kind of era that we're in at First Liberty Institute. This is an unusual time in the history
it
of this organization.
It is. I would say to people... You know, we've won four cases at the Supreme Court in the last 4 years. I think this case we're going to talk about, I think we're going to win that one in June.
Yeah.
We're praying, but I think that would be five in 5 years. And people are going to begin to think, well, yeah, you're supposed to win one every year. I'm like, no. That it's like one every 10 years is like enough to say this is one of the greatest organizations you've ever seen. Because these are precedents that live many decades into the future. This is just God's favor in allowing us to be involved in these really significant cases. And so I just don't want us to take for granted the blessing that God has given us. So, I mean, these victories we're having and the fact that we've got one at the Supreme Court and the fact that we might have Coach Kennedy, which would be a major, major case, is unusual. And so we give God the glory for even the opportunity to be able to do these.
Absolutely, it's providence with a capital P that we have Amen. These opportunities ahead of us, and we're grateful. So just a few weeks ago, you and I were at the Supreme Court. You were inside, I was outside in the cold, but still we were there, and we argued a case out of Maine asking for children to be treated fairly. What's ahead on that case?
Well, it's a case in Maine where they, for over 100 years, they've allowed parents to pick any school, public or private, for their kids. Because most of their school districts don't have a public school. So they let them pick private schools, whatever. It doesn't matter which ones. As long, you know, I mean, but they decided, you know, just a few decades ago that they were going to start excluding all the religious schools.
Yeah.
And we said, you can't do that. That's religious discrimination. I think the argument went really well. People can still watch it. They can go to First Liberty Live. They can see your commentary before with Jeremy saying, here's what you're going to hear. And then listen to the argument.
Which was an unusual thing, but they're doing it because COVID. So
that's right.
You get to hear them in real time.
Usually don't get to do this.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I came out of the court and we talked. So if people want to watch it, I mean, watch it because it was, you can see it was, nobody was treating anybody with kid gloves. Okay.
Yeah, you have to be prepared when
it
you
was,
get there.
It was rough. But I think everybody afterwards, even all the newspapers, left wing, right wing, said, it looks like we have six votes. And if we do, that's a tremendous precedent. It
has to do with rural schools in Maine, which I think causes a lot of people to go, eh, but the impact could be much broader and go nationwide,
I mean, there's school choice programs all over the country in states. I think just last year, 29 different programs were either added to or increased or implemented. So that's just new.
Yeah.
So this is all over the country. If we win, which I hope and believe we will, it will, number one, change the ability of parents to now pick religious schools, Christian schools, Jewish schools. They cannot be excluded from
under
these programs.
Under a school choice program.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what that's going to mean is it's going to allow more choice for parents in what's best for their children. It's going to allow schools to come into existence that didn't exist because now they get treated fairly like everybody else.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we don't think about this. All these schools are going to come into existence. All these parents are going to get choices. But just think about even one kid who gets to go to a school of faith. That could change their life. That's one kid. We're talking about millions of kids and millions of families. Just one of those could change the future of our country. So these are really big impacts that we don't think about, that we might not ever know about until you know, we get to heaven.
Yeah.
But I feel really good about it, but be praying, because they're now writing opinions. They're sharing those opinions, the justices behind the scenes. They're trying to convince people to flip sides. So until that opinion comes out, probably in June, we don't know what's going to happen.
Okay, we've talked Supreme Court, Supreme Court, Supreme Court, Supreme Court. Now let's talk about one that's in the beginning stages. It's a case that involves whether the government can tell a church how to define what a minister is. Tell us about it.
Well, this is a case, I mean, there's a lot of parsonages exemptions from taxes around the country. Sometimes it's the IRS.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's your state law. But what we do is we have a tradition in this country, for good reason, to not try to tax the, you know, essentially the church's parsonage.
Right.
For the pastor. They have a room for the pastor. Oh, we're going to tax the room for the pastor. This is a really bad idea. You know, we have wars over this, you know, in the history of the world. So we have exemptions. And they say if you're a minister, then you have a parsonage exemption. Well, the state of Virginia decided that they were better at defining who were ministers of this church than the church. That the youth ministers weren't really ministers in their view because they wanted more taxes.
Yeah.
And so this case is about, does the government have the ability to tell the church who their ministers are? And the answer is no. You know, this kind of a tax scheme, we just ended one of these kind of things down in Magnolia, Texas,
yeah,
where they were actually trying to get more tax money by increasing the water fees on the churches, or the churches were going to be paying like three times as much in taxes as like a commercial business was for the same water. And
except they weren't taxes.
Yes.
That's how they tried to do
that. They hit them. Yeah. So we ended up just winning that case, and to where they're now not going to do that anymore. But that's what this is. This is, let's see if we can get our hands, the government hands, into the church coffer. And we'll see. I feel like we're going to win this case, an important case of what we call church autonomy, the right of the church, the right of a religious organization to pick its own leaders,
yeah,
to have its own doctrine, and to set its own theological constructs. And this goes way back in cases, but it really is the idea of the government cannot enter into this sphere, intersphere of the church, and tell it how to pick its leaders, who it can expel, what its doctrine is, and that's what it's trying to do here.
Our caseload right now is a lengthy list, and we just wanted to give you a sense of what we're working on at a high level, kind of a broad brush. But there's so much more we could talk about. And we've got, for the sake of time, we won't deal with each of these, but we just filed suit in the Shields of Strength case.
That's right.
We'll have Kenny Vaughn and Mike Berry on next week to talk about that one. We're still pursuing the case against Alaska Airlines, which fired two flight attendants because they expressed on an employee-only web forum an opinion based on their belief, and they fired them over it. And then there's the case by Sweetcakes by Melissa that's still in play about the wedding cake baker. And there are a lot more that we could list. It's a busy time. We could only do what we do thanks to a lot of people who feel as strongly about religious freedom as we do, people who care about it. I know your heart, and I know how profoundly grateful you are that we have the resources to do this work, because nobody that we serve gets a bill.
Right.
That's one of the key things. I don't know that everybody knows that, but the people that you heard us talk about just now, none of them will ever get a bill from First Liberty Institute. And that's only because of people like you. Kelly, I want to give you a chance as we start this new year to look directly into the camera, as we finish one year and start the next one, to look into the camera, just thank our supporters directly.
Yeah, I can't thank you enough. I mean, we've been a part of a record number of victories. I mean, we were almost averaging one a week at time. And I so wish often I could get you into the courtroom with the Navy SEALs, into a room with Gail Blair, the blonde woman who was banned from sharing her faith at the park. The closest we could get is you can go to First Liberty Live and watch the oral argument, or not watch, but listen to the oral argument in the Supreme Court, mm-hmm, in the Carson case, because what these people go through is very difficult. They suffer. It's a long process. Coach Kennedy, 6 years. And it means so much to them that you're standing with them. And it means so much to our staff. I mean, when things come in, a lot of people send notes of encouragement. They let us know they're praying. They send in gifts. I mean, people here celebrate because you can kind of feel like you're alone. And that's how our clients feel a lot of time. And because you do what you do, they feel your presence with them. And that really adds a lot of strength. And so I'll say a lot of times in letters or whatever I send out that we're doing this together, and I really mean that. We're a team, and I know a lot of people are thankful for First Liberty because they're like, you know, I have a passion for this, but I couldn't do anything if it wasn't for you guys doing what you're doing. But we feel the same way. We're so excited that you're with us at the front line, that you're arm in arm with us. So thank you for being a part of really changing the future of our country. I mean, we've had tremendous success, and I think it's coming this year, this next year as well. Thank you for being a part of that, for changing the future for our children and our grandchildren. And it's just a privilege to work together. So God bless you, and thank you.
The most heartbreaking thing I ever heard in an interview was talking with Coach Kennedy. And he just expressed, with tears in his eyes, frankly, that if it weren't for the people who support First Liberty and the work of the attorneys here, he'd just be another guy who got fired.
That's right.
That just broke my heart, because the people we represent, the thing that strikes me is I get to go around the country and chat with them, interview them, tell their stories, is they're regular people.
Yep.
They don't have the resources, the legal knowledge, everything that they would need to pursue a case like this, and it's only because of the people who support the work of First Liberty that they're able to get that.
Well, and I think of all these military families right now who are going through the end of the year just terrified at what's going to happen to their family. Their million-dollar pension's about to disappear. Even though they've served 17 years for our country. I wish we could represent them all, but we can't. We just don't have the capacity. We're doing all we can. But it's because of everybody's support that we're able to represent these SEALs. And so I just hope that they picture themselves standing next to the SEALs and standing next to Coach Kennedy, because that's truly what's happening.
Kelly, real briefly, I just want to, and this is something I always want to ask you, why is your heart in this? You are a top-notch attorney. You have an incredible resume. You could be doing a lot of things. Why is your heart in this work? Why are you doing specifically this kind of work and devoting your life's effort to it?
You know, it might be cliche-ish or whatever, but it's just the truth. I mean, this is what God called me to do. You know, you'd think you'd get, you could lose your passion or whatever. If God calls you to it, you're going to have a passion for it. And I've had a passion for it since I was in high school. And I didn't know what it exactly looked like. But each year, God just totally amazes me with what we go to new levels, it seems like, every year. Stuff that I didn't think was possible.
Yeah.
And our reputation goes to that level, too. And it's just God, this has been preordained for us to walk in this fight. And I think it's for such a time as this. It's a unique time. And I wouldn't do anything else. I mean, this is, people are like, oh, what a sacrifice you made. You could be making all this money. And I'm like, it's not a sacrifice to do what God calls you to do. There's nothing more joyful than that,
yeah,
to get to see what he's doing through the people that are supporting, the people that are standing up like the Joe Kennedys, the people on staff who are all, I mean, think of these poor people that are working all weekend on this brief in OSHA. But you know, they're doing it because they love what they do and they're called to be here. So we're a special team, I don't know, an army of people with supporters, with the people we're representing. I mean, we're really a unique team, a close team. And I think we're all called to this to some extent, but this is just what God called me to do, and I have a passion to do it. And I've told my board before, you'll probably have to put me away, because I'm going to work until I'm in the grave, until you push me off. And maybe that day will come, but this is what I want to do, because I love doing it, and I think it's really important for the future of our country.
I appreciate your passion, your humility, and your commitment to this. It is an honor to work alongside you. Thanks for sharing with us today.
Thank you.
Hey, if you'd like to be part of the victories in 2022, would you please consider making a gift to First Liberty Institute? Just look for the big red give button at the top of the page. We currently have a $450,000 challenge grant. We have a large goal for this year that you can see on the screen there, and we want you to be part of that. These victories you just heard about are your victories. When you share with First Liberty, you're part of, you're making an actual, tangible difference in the real world in the lives of these people. And you're part of that. And these victories are your victories. And we're thankful to you for making it possible. Next week, we're going to talk to the owner of Shields of Strength, which makes replica dog tags with the logos of the branches of the service and scripture inscriptions on them. One complaint, and they were told by several branches of the military to cut it out. We're going to talk to the owner of that company and also with our attorney, Mike Berry. So we will see you next time right here on First Liberty Live.